The Supreme Court has an opinion on the Bush policy for terrorism detainees.
We'll study this opinion, and we'll do so with this in mind to determine whether or not additional legislation might be appropriate.
But agree or disagree, Supreme Court opinions have the force of law. Yesterday's 5-4 decision stated that Guantanamo detainees have the right to challenge their detention in court and must be able to see the evidence against them or be released. Studying the U.S. Constitution with the Bush administration. It's The Takeaway.
All across America, this is The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji from WNYC and PRI.
Good morning. It's Friday, June 13th, and indeed, we are taking a look at the Supreme Court decision that looks like a rebuke to the Bush administration's detainee policy. Also, the 500-year flood in Iowa. Thousands are evacuated. Ground control to Neil deGrasse Tyson. The Nova host is here with us and takes us around the universe. Come with us. That and all the news. President Bush says he strongly disagrees with yesterday's Supreme Court ruling that enemy combatants being held at Guantanamo have the right to challenge their detentions in civil court. In the 5-4 ruling, Bush says the dissenters are expressing serious concerns about U.S. national security. The Midwest is being battered by severe weather, and Iowa's at the center of the storm. Nine Iowa rivers are at or above historic flood levels. Part of downtown Cedar Rapids is underwater, and more than 3,900 homes have been evacuated. Evacuations are also being recommended in Des Moines because of concerns about a levee there. More than half of the state's counties have been declared disaster zones.
A proposed U.S.-Iraq security pact has reached a stalemate. The agreement would have provided a legal basis for the presence of U.S. forces in Iraq after the U.N. mandate expires at the end of this year. Iraq says the agreement would cement American military, political, and economic domination of the country. The Food and Drug Administration still has not pinpointed the source of the tomatoes responsible for the current salmonella outbreak. The number of people who've gotten sick has jumped to 228.
In another effort to offset high fuel prices, United and U.S. Airways are joining American Airlines in charging flyers $15 to check in their first bag on some flights. Most already charge $25 for a second bag. In Zimbabwe, presidential candidate Morgan Tsvangirai was detained and released by police twice yesterday. Tsvangirai faces longtime President Robert Mugabe in a June 27th runoff vote.
Can't resist this. Lakers blew a 21-point lead in Game 4 of the NBA playoffs, losing to the Boston Celtics 91-97. Lakers coach Phil Jackson has a message for his team.
It's not over. This is not over. The series is not over.
Thank you, oh wise one. Boston is up 3-1 in the series. In Asian trading, oil's holding steady at $136 a barrel. The S&P was up yesterday and begins the day trading at 1339. Adora?
Yes. What's on your mind, John?
Well, this Guantanamo Bay decision really causes me to think maybe there's a debate out there over whether the Bush administration has abrogated the Constitution. Do you agree or disagree with the decision on the Guantanamo Bay detainees? Do they have the right to challenge their detention in court? We're going to have a debate on the show. We want to hear from you at
877-8-MY-TAKE or at mytake@thetakeaway.org. It has been a raging legal debate, and the Supreme Court has weighed in for the third time. We'll be back.
Have they resolved it? We'll find out.
The Takeaway is made possible by Liberty Mutual's Responsibility Project, encouraging discussion about what it means to do the right thing. ResponsibilityProject.com. The Takeaway is supported by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, advancing journalistic excellence in the digital age. More information at knightfoundation.org. And by the Alfred P. Sloan Foundation, to enhance public understanding of science and technology in the modern world. You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji.
Good morning. Severe weather continues to batter the Midwest. Cedar Rapids, Iowa has been particularly hard hit. This morning, the city's underwater. We'll have more on that story coming up. First, the historic Supreme Court decision that has put President Bush's policy on enemy combatants in turmoil. The court ruled that nearly 300 alleged foreign-born terrorists being held at Guantanamo Bay do have the right to challenge their detentions in civilian courts. The split 5-4 decision concluded the current policy infringes on the constitutional rights of detainees by holding them indefinitely without charge. Joining us to discuss the developments is Glenn Greenwald, a former constitutional lawyer, author, and a Salon.com contributor. Also, Jed Babin, former Deputy Undersecretary of Defense under President George H. Bush. Welcome, both of you.
Hello.
Let's start with you, Glenn. Has this decision put to rest the debate over whether the Bush administration has the executive power to define due process for foreign-born enemy combatants?
Well, it puts to rest the question of whether its attempt to create a constitution and law-free zone in Guantanamo, which is the whole point of why there's a detention facility in Guantanamo, is permissible under our Constitution. In essence, the U.S. Supreme Court saw through the sham that the Bush administration has been trying to perpetrate from the beginning, which is to take an area that the U.S. government has total and effective control over and claim that because technically another country has sovereignty over that territory, that they need not abide by the Constitution or by any American law. And the court said that if you allow the government to play those kind of games, to essentially engage in deceit of that sort, to turn off the Constitution at will, that it renders constitutional protections meaningless. And so it certainly has settled the debate on that score.
Jed Babin, the administration would say that it's created a parallel body of law as a way of creating unique and new kinds of protections for U.S. citizens in the age of terrorism. What do you make of this decision?
Well, I think Mr. Greenwald has just really thoroughly misstated the whole holding. They have not applied all American law. They have not applied all of the Constitution or anything else to this case. What they have simply said is, and I'm reading from the decision, we do not address whether the president has authority to detain these petitioners, nor do we hold that the writ must issue. These are other questions regarding the legality of the detention are to be resolved in the first instance by the district courts. This is not a case where the Bush administration has done anything other than try to protect the United States and, I might add, other countries. Of the 270 residents of Gitmo right now, roughly 70 have been scheduled for release for months. The problem is these characters are so dangerous and so obviously dangerous that neither the countries in which they were captured nor even their native countries want to take them back.
Jed, isn't the court, though, saying that that's up to a court to determine, not necessarily exclusively for the Bush administration?
Absolutely not. What they're saying is that they do not address, again, we do not address whether the president has authority to detain these petitioners, nor do we hold that the writ must issue. All they're saying is that the individual cases have now to be extended the writ of habeas corpus, which has never, ever been done to prisoners in a conflict before. This just shows that the United States law, and these judges in particular, have not yet caught up to the realities of this war. Nor do we need, as I'm sure Mr. Greenwald's now going to yell, we don't need to give up our Constitution. No one has suggested that. This is just yet another.
All right, well, let's not anticipate what Glenn's going to say.
Let have been gone.
Let's get a response from Glenn.
Since 2003.
No, I understand what you're saying, Jed. Let's get a response from Glenn rather than anticipating what he's going to say. Glenn?
Well, I mean, it's interesting he's saying that I'm misapprehending the holding, although what he's describing is exactly right about what the court did, which is all they said was that if you want to imprison people indefinitely in cages, as we're doing at Guantanamo, then the Constitution requires that you afford them the opportunity to go into court and contest the validity of the accusations against them. Not that they have to be released, but simply that if you want to imprison them as enemy combatants, that you have to prove that your accusations are actually accurate. That's a basic precept of Western justice and has been ever since the Magna Carta 8 centuries ago. And what's so unbelievable is that the right in this country is reacting as though this is some sort of grave injustice, when all the court is doing is saying, if these are really dangerous terrorists, don't make sham hearings the way you have in Guantanamo, where they can't have lawyers present, they can't challenge the evidence against them, they can't call witnesses, they can't even see the evidence half the time that you're using to justify their their detention or even their execution, just go into court and give them due process the way that we have always demanded that other countries do and the way that the founders of our country intended. And yet, even that requirement, that basic requirement that's set forth in our Constitution that does nothing but mandate that we give people an opportunity to be heard in court before we put them in cages for life, is too much for the right in this country because
but,
they believe...
Can I get a word in?
But hold on one second, please. Gentlemen. Just one question here. Justice Kennedy, who did write the ruling decision, there's a quote here that says, "The laws and Constitution are designed to survive and remain in force in extraordinary times. The cost of delay can no longer be borne by those who are held in custody. Liberty and security can be reconciled." So there certainly is the acknowledgement by the court that there are these grave issues of security at risk here.
Well, if I can get a word in edgewise,
so go ahead,
the basic point, here is Glenn is just spouting a lot of liberal trash. I've been to Gitmo. We're not keeping people in cages. For heaven's sake, they're out there playing soccer and volleyball half the day.
But
this
they have been. But
this
Jed,
is
but,
not
but,
a case where people are being abused. This is a case where extremely dangerous people captured on the battlefield are being kept away from society and back to the fact that we cannot release most of these people.
All right, let's, 36
of the people we have released have gone back to the battlefield and have killed more.
All right, Jed, let's just talk specifically about the issue that Glenn was raising, not you characterize it as liberal trash, but the issue that the court is talking about, which is, okay, if these charges are significant, let's have them adjudicated in open court. What's wrong with that, even for the people that you say are so dangerous and have killed again?
What's wrong with that is it's a fundamental confusion. This is the John Kerry theory of law. This is treating these terrorists as if they were common criminals under the civil criminal justice system. They are not. They are at war with us. They do not have the rights, even as the Constitution provides all of us to habeas corpus. We had 300,000 German prisoners in prison camps for the duration of World War II. We did not give them the right to question their detention.
Although they did have hearings, they did have Geneva hearings on the battlefield, right?
No, they did not have Geneva hearings, every single one of them. For heaven's sake, do you have any idea what happened with these people? When I was in ROTC in the summer of 1969, I lived in the barracks that some of them had been put in for the duration of the war.
But Glenn, clearly some of that argument was not something that the Supreme Court, or at least let us say that this was a split decision, 5-4. And Glenn, what in your mind does that mean in terms of how this will be applied?
Well, the fact that it's a split decision is irrelevant. Five justices deciding something makes it the law of the land every bit as much as if it were unanimous. And a couple things that I just want to note is, you know, if you look at what people like Jed Babin have been saying for years and his allies in the administration, what they say are things like, this war is different than all the other wars. This war is not going to last a matter of years or even a decade. It's going to last decades or generations. So when you start talking about POWs and holding people in cages until the cessation of hostilities, you're not talking about an end to the war that is foreseeable or finite. You're talking about basically putting these people into prison forever. And to do that without providing any meaningful process is exactly the sort of betrayal of our founding principles that has generated so much of the hostility in the first place. And the only other point I just want to add in terms of what was just said about Guantanamo, he said he went to Guantanamo and people loved it there. They were playing soccer.
I did not say they loved it.
He went as part of the military analyst program that the New York Times recently exposed. It was a propaganda.
All right, hold on. Guys. Look, the decision, guys.
And said how great Guantanamo was.
Jed, look, the issue of whether it's nice at Guantanamo is really not what the court is talking about here. Jed, I want you to respond to the issue of the split decision, and then we're going to turn this over to the audience. Jed, quickly.
Well, the issue is not Glenn, the first thing he said that I agreed with is that the fact that it's a split decision doesn't make it any less the law of the land. But the fact of the matter is here, this is not anything that has to do with the normal criminal justice system. This case views terrorism and this war as a war on criminals, and that's not what it is. It confuses the Constitution, it's bad law, and it will be eventually reversed.
Well, Jed Babin, editor of Human Events, former Deputy Undersecretary of Defense under President George H.W. Bush, and Glenn Greenwald, former constitutional lawyer and writer for Salon.com. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
We want to extend this debate to you in our audience at 877-8-MY-TAKE. What's your view on this decision? 5-4, where do you fall on the split? Or you can email us at mytake@thetakeaway.org.
You can email us at mytake@thetakeaway.org or call us toll-free at 877-8-MY-TAKE.
869-8253.
Today's conversation on The Takeaway is supported by Liberty Mutual's Responsibility Project, asking what is responsibility in this day and age. Everybody has their own opinion, discussions, and more at responsibilityproject.com.
You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji from WNYC and PRI, Public Radio International, in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Radio Boston.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3. Engine start. 1-0 and liftoff of the Delta rocket carrying BLAST, a gamma-ray telescope searching for unseen physics in the stars of the galaxies.
That was quite a launch this week, and we've launched a lively debate on the Takeaway and also on our website at 877-8-MY-TAKE on the Supreme Court decision on the Guantanamo detainees. You heard that lively debate a moment ago. We want you to weigh in. Email us at mytake@thetakeaway.org. Also, severe weather continues to batter the Midwest. Cedar Rapids underwater. It's estimated to be a 500-year flood. More on that in a minute. But joining us is one of the big men of science. Neil deGrasse Tyson is here. There's no such thing as unseen physics to him. He's our guest all hour. He's the director of the Hayden Planetarium at the American Museum of Natural History, host of Nova Science Now. He comes to us courtesy of our partner, WGBH in Boston. Neil, the GLAST Gamma Ray Telescope that was launched today, I mean, it's just one of the great space stories this week. But let's begin with GLAST. How excited were you about that launch, and what's it going to look at?
Well, consider that we as human beings see only what we call visible light, red, orange, yellow, green, blue, violet. Yet the universe talks to us in many other kinds of light, radio waves, gamma rays, which is what this telescope is specifically designed to measure, microwave. Some of these are familiar with everyday life. We use microwave ovens, for example, infrared, ultraviolet, X-rays. Mm-hmm. So the whole universe is trying to talk to us using bands of light quite unfamiliar to the naked eye. And so you need special telescopes, special detectors to bring the cosmos to you in these bands. And when you do, what you learn is that there are objects and phenomena that only reveal themselves in these bands. And so therein are the act of opening windows to the cosmos, as the GLAST telescope will
like
be doing.
Like what
for
kinds
us.
Of things?
Well, it turns out the gamma ray astronomy has a fascinating history, which I'll try to abbreviate here. Back in the early 1970s, there was the surface test ban treaty for nukes. And so we didn't, you know, as the military says, trust but verify, right? So everybody signs the treaty, but you want to verify that everyone's obeying it. And so what we did was launch a telescope that was sensitive to the kind of radiation that would be given off by a nuclear blast, an above-ground nuclear blast. And what did we discover? About once a day, the detectors were triggered. And we said, what's going on around the world? So we double-checked everything else around.
It wasn't like a bunch of microwave ovens. And
so everybody was checking all around the world. Guy, do you hear a report from your embassy? No. It turns out there are explosions in the universe, averaging, you know, one a day, like about 400 a year across the universe that are delivering gamma ray energy to us. And so thus was born the science of gamma ray astronomy. And all we could do back then was just sort of know that it happened somewhere. And over the years, we've been continually improving the ability to understand what's going on. But it's the gamma ray, the source of these gamma rays have been quite a mystery for decades.
Have you managed to take a gander at this new supernova that they've discovered out there in space? We actually talked with an astronomer a couple weeks back about this thing that's happening in real time, sort of.
Well, yeah. Well, there are a couple. There were several supernovae that made the news. Perhaps the one you were considering is one where there's a star that is about to go supernova that's oriented in such a way that if it did, it could be one of these gamma ray bursts, and they'll all beam towards us from our own galaxy.
So we'll all turn into the Incredible Hulk? I could use a bulk up, actually.
Yeah, yeah, sure. Did you want to turn green, though? Did you? That you got to get ready for that as well.
We'll talk about that a little bit later. Uh-huh. Oh, that is fascinating. What about what happened to Pluto? It was demoted as a planet, but now there's a new designation for.
Just came out. Yeah, yeah. Well, they're trying to find vocabulary. There's a search for classification terms, which I applaud. Although there's been some dissent about what words should be actually used. So a word was introduced this week by the International Astronomical Union, and they're called Plutoids.
These are sort of...
Who came up with that, and what does that mean?
Plutoids. Plutoid, not to be confused with hemorrhoids or asteroids. Plutoids...
Do not mock me, Plutoid.
Plutoids are round objects orbiting in the solar system beyond Neptune, which would include Pluto, and one other object, Eris, is a round object orbiting beyond Neptune. And any other round object that gets discovered would then get this name. So I applaud the effort to try to have the words be specific.
Well, stay with us. Neil deGrasse Tyson, director of the Hayden Planetarium at the American Museum of Natural History. He's also host of Nova Science Now. The series is a production of our partner WGBH in Boston.
Adore. And there's just no end in sight, it seems like, for those people in the Midwest who've been facing just the massively bad weather for days on end. More than half of Iowa's counties have been declared state disaster areas because of flood. Thousands of homes have been evacuated. The governor will be giving the head of FEMA a firsthand look at the damage today. As the Des Moines River rose in Iowa, Andy Brudkuhl swapped news with his neighbors using Twitter. The response he got in text and photos impressed him enough that he started a website. Since it launched on Tuesday, iowaflood.com has become a constantly updated mix of content about rising waters across the state. Welcome, Andy. What's the latest updates you've received from people?
It's been pretty quiet this morning. Most of the updates are coming from the eastern Iowa, Cedar Rapids and Iowa City region.
And Cedar Rapids at this point is underwater.
Yeah, it's completely underwater. I just got some pictures and some videos up this morning. Yeah, they're driving boats down the street, so it's pretty crazy.
Why did you create the site? What inspired you to do it?
There was just a lot of social media out there, and it's traditionally a decentralized medium, and I just figured I should centralize it so people not involved in social media could access it pretty easily.
And did you get responses immediately?
Yeah, I launched the site Tuesday afternoon and announced it on Twitter, and they took the message and ran with it.
Tell us about some of the things that have ended up on your website that people have sent in.
A lot of pictures, a lot of aerial shots from people flying in planes. I've been getting stories sent in on people's experiences with it.
Is there one story that sticks out in your mind?
Not particularly. Most of them are just talking about the pictures that they send in, just kind of in shock that there's water in their streets and whatnot.
Well, you know, Andy, people are using your site to find out how their neighborhood is doing, if they grew up there, or if they have some connection to any particular street. I think that's really amazing.
Right, and we had one blogger I'd never met before. He wrote about the site yesterday, and that's exactly what he said. And he said he can go to all the mainstream media to get, you know, updates and news, but he came to my site to see what the streets looked like that he used to walk on, you know. And he lives in Virginia now, but... You know, that's what he wanted to see.
Andy Brudkuhl, yeah. You've managed to avoid some of the harshest results of this bad weather. The creator of iowaflood.com. We thank you very much for joining us, and we wish you well.
Thank you.
The Takeaway is supported by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, dedicated to the idea that all people deserve the chance to live a healthy, productive life. Information at gatesfoundation.org. And by the Rockefeller Foundation and its American Worker Initiative. More at rockfound.org.
The Takeaway is supported by Liberty Mutual's Responsibility Project, now featuring Father's Day, a short film about a woman whose father left her when she was a child, and her daughter, who now wants to meet her estranged grandfather, if he lives long enough. Available at ResponsibilityProject.com.
You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji.
Hello, this is Michael. I'm from Boston. I was wondering why George Bush hasn't been impeached yet. Nixon has done less than that, and he lost his job.
My name is Dan Gallagher. I'm calling from Mansfield, Massachusetts. Are we proposing by this decision to bring all of those combatants that we encounter in any conflict in the future back to the United States for a trial and imprisonment in the United States? There just seems to be a lack of common sense being applied here.
A lively debate this morning as legal scholars, American citizens, and Bush administration officials parse through the Supreme Court decision that says enemy combatants that have been held at Guantanamo Bay have the right to challenge that detention in a civil court.
Also, our listeners weighing in right there at 877-8-MY-TAKE. We want you to be a part of the conversation at mytake@thetakeaway.org. We've got some economic news.
We do. Another week, another round of mixed economic news, and a crisis at Lehman Brothers, the independent bank. Fears of recession and inflation have led the headlines, and we have some new numbers.
The CPI is out. Inflation jumps 0.6% in May, and that's the biggest gain since November, mostly because of higher energy prices.
Higher energy prices. And we're going to take a slice of this, go to our friend David Leonhardt from the New York Times, and ask you, what do you think about the numbers the Labor Department released this morning?
They're basically what economists were expecting. In fact, they're almost exactly what economists were expecting. Sometimes I think we get too caught up in this month-to-month stuff. I prefer looking year-over-year, and year-over-year inflation continues to be running just about 4%, which isn't pleasant, but this isn't a big change.
Isn't it hard, though, not to get caught up in the day-to-day numbers, actually, David? It's not even week-to-week. It seems like there's labor numbers, retail sales numbers, home sale numbers, et cetera, coming out nearly every day. How do we make sense of this, us lay people?
Yeah, it is hard not to get caught up in it. And part of that is a lot of the economists who comment on this are Wall Street economists, so they're worried about to what extent it's going to move the stocks a little bit each way. But when you look at the big picture of data over the last week or so, it's actually remarkably consistent. We're in a very weak economy. It's probably a recession. It's not quite as bad as we feared a couple months ago. And to top it all off, prices are rising.
There is some truth, though, or at least, I don't know, some value in looking day to day at the energy numbers. I mean, the volatility in the oil markets that was historic, really, over the past 10 days tells a subtler story of who's trading oil and why. What do you make of that?
Yeah, so there's a lot of debate right now about what role speculators play in the oil market. And I agree with you. It's sort of entertaining. I mean, the day-to-day stuff is really interesting. I don't think it affects most people's lives, but it's really interesting. And, I mean, my take on this is that most of the oil price rise, the vast majority of it, is based on supply and demand. But it's also clear that we've had a huge rise in the amount of trading that goes on around the oil market, and it's really hard to know how much of a role that plays in the price increases.
If I'm sitting at home and I see these new numbers this morning, should I be more worried about inflation or recession?
Well, that's a little bit of a tough call. I would say you should be more worried about recession. I think the odds are that inflation is going to come down because of the weak economic growth. Now, with that being said, even in a recession, most people keep their jobs. And so the really bad part about a recession for most people is their pay increases slow down to the point where they're less than inflation. So what I think most people should worry about is this combination of slowing growth that's going to slow their pay growth and rising inflation, or relatively high inflation for this kind of weakness, that's going to make the bite of slowing pay growth all the worse.
Well, shifting over to financials for just a moment, I mean, Adora alluded a moment ago to the crisis at Lehman Brothers that can't seem to convey to investors that it actually is solvent, and that is affecting its stock price down like 40% or more. You alluded a moment ago to the fact that speculators are in the oil market because they feel like that's the only place where you can bank on a rise in value for your investment. Does that mean over the long haul that people are losing their confidence in traditional financial instruments like stock, and that eventually there might be some precipitous fall?
I really try hard to avoid predicting what's going to happen in the stock market because it's a recipe for looking bad. But I thought the Lehman Brothers stuff has been great this week because I thought it really captured the overall mood in the market. The Erin Callan, who is the CFO of Lehman until she was just demoted yesterday, became this sort of media star over the last few weeks. She was the face of Wall Street dealing with its problems head on. And I think a lot of the reason she got all this attention was that people felt like, wait, maybe this is all over. Maybe this financial crisis is behind us. And then lo and behold, just a few weeks after she became a star, she gets demoted because, mainly because Lehman Brothers still has big problems. And because whether or not we're going to have a big fall in the stock market, I think we clearly still have some turmoil ahead of us.
Okay, so another chapter done, at least for this week. But David, let's talk about you. You're moving to D.C., and even though you've written columns suggesting, advising people to rent as opposed to buy, you and your family have decided to buy a home in D.C. You must be feeling pretty confident about the economy.
Well, maybe not as confident as that suggests. I still think house prices have a ways to fall. If you are a renter who's sitting on the sidelines and you don't need to move, I would urge you to keep renting. But we're in a situation where we had to move, and we just decided prices had fallen far enough. We were excited to settle into a home. I think if we had been doing this a year or two ago, I would have said, you know, prices are still so insanely high that I'm not willing to do it. But at least in Washington, I'm not sure the same is true in San Francisco or New York or Boston. At least in Washington, I thought prices had come down far enough that while I expect my house to be worth less 6 months after I move into it,
come on,
it is now.
Come on, David. You just wanted to buy a riding lawnmower. Thanks so much for being with us.
David Leonhard, New York Times economics columnist and our friend. Thank you. Time for some headlines from Richard Hake, who's sitting in for Femi Okay. Good morning.
Good morning. Inflation shot up in May at the fastest pace in 6 months, pushed by higher soaring costs for gas and other types of energy. The Labor Department just released figures showing that consumer prices rose by 0.6% last month, the biggest one-month increase since last November. Gas costs surged by 5.7%. In other stories we're looking at for you this morning, Iraq's prime minister says the U.S. is failing to recognize that his nation is a sovereign state, declaring that talks on long-term security have reached a dead end. Landing preparations are on schedule today for the space shuttle. Discovery astronauts are checking out flight control systems and the steering jets. The landing is scheduled for tomorrow. There's a huge part of eastern Iowa underwater due to flooding. 3,900 homes had to be evacuated in Cedar Rapids, where about 100 blocks of the town are underwater. The head of FEMA will join Iowa's governor later today to assess the damage. Wildfires continue to rage in Northern California, forcing thousands to flee their homes there. Brandon Clark is a golf course manager in Paradise, California. He says the fires are a yearly occurrence.
Every year we get a couple of pretty good brush fires through this area, obviously. And, you know, it looks like the fire's kind of raging a little out of control.
At least 20 homes have been destroyed. And finally, President Bush is meeting with the Pope in Italy. AIDS and poverty were discussed. He also got a rare tour of the Vatican Gardens by Pope Benedict himself. The lush gardens are usually reserved for papal prayer. And later today, the president heads to Paris.
Those gardens are spectacular. I've never actually
been
in them.
Were you invited?
But if you're in some of the buildings surrounding it, you can see them and they glow.
Thank you, Richard.
You're welcome.
Glowing gardens.
The Takeaway is made possible by Liberty Mutual's Responsibility Project, encouraging discussion about what it means to do the right thing. ResponsibilityProject.com.
I've been alone for a long time. Not because I want to be, but because until I solve this problem, I have to be.
The voice of Bruce Banner, actually the voice of Ed Norton playing Bruce Banner, who was the physicist who got exposed to gamma radiation, and when he got angry, he turned into the Incredible Hulk. Well, Marvel's version of the Incredible Hulk comes out this week, and actually opens today to kind of deconstruct the Incredible Hulk and the whole gamma ray business is Tim Halpin Healy, professor of physics at Barnard College, my wife's alma mater at Columbia University. Also with us, of course, Neil deGrasse Tyson, from the American Museum of Natural History. That means there are two physicists in the studio at this point. This is a two-physicist show.
I'm scared.
John, you're safe. Don't worry.
We could probably get a grant just for having two physicists. All right, Tim, you've seen the Incredible Hulk. What do you think?
Well, it's a tough question. Do you want me to answer as a physicist, as a New Yorker, as a filmgoer?
Let's remind ourselves what the word incredible means. It means not believable.
Right, exactly. That's what, yeah.
All right, so any good science in The Incredible Hulk to begin with?
Oh, there's some good science and some bad science. I know that I was the only scientist at the screening. I was the only one taking notes.
Okay, well, that's a good sign.
But one of the things about the film that was impressive was the notion that data is sacred. And that sort of...
So that's a theme.
Oh, that's very important. Actually, Ed Norton swallowed his flash drive, okay, to preserve the data at some point in the film. And it is true. From a scientist's point of view, data is very important. It is sacred. You don't touch it.
Wait, that's not a general rule. To save data, you should swallow it.
But no, this is true. But it did bring new meaning to the notion for
we
me.
We could certainly... Flash drives are getting smaller, so yes, they are swallowable. I mean, 10 years ago, you couldn't swallow a flash drive, that's for sure. Tim, the gamma ray business, if you get a lot of gamma rays, are you going to turn green?
No, you're going to die.
You're going to just die.
Basically, you die.
You just die. Right?
Seriously die. Okay. It's gamma rays are... Well, we're all familiar with X-rays, either medicinally or at the dentist and so on. And X-rays are themselves quite potent, all right? They have very short wavelengths on the order of an angstrom. X-ray crystallography is used to study the structure of crystals. Now, gamma rays
I've got to add, evidence that they're potent is that when they turn on the X-ray machine when you're in the room, the X-ray technician leaves the room.
I've noticed that.
They go to another room and turn the switch.
What's that about?
Evidence that it's potent.
Is it a terrible death, Professor Healy?
Well, I don't know that we want to go there. It's probably pretty awful. Gamma rays, as I was going to say, are typically 1,000 to 10,000 or even 100,000 times more potent than X-rays. So
so you just fry.
Basically, it's a quick, but it also induces tumors, right, which can be longer term, and so on.
Well, to focus on the psychological dimension, is The Incredible Hulk misunderstood?
Well,
come on.
Yeah, I don't know. It's hard to certainly the comic
book
story.
Trying to get a physicist to do psychology, man.
Well, I think it's actually he's a sort of metaphor for all of the things that went wrong, let's say, so to speak, with or the loss of innocence, the collective loss of innocence that physicists felt, let's say, post Manhattan Project.
Interesting. That's interesting. Did you feel that? I mean, what is a movie like, very, very quickly, what does a movie like The Incredible Hulk do to the third graders who come to the Hayden Planetarium? Do they want to ask about gamma rays? Where's The Incredible Hulk?
No, I think the third graders can tell the difference.
They can tell the difference.
Cartoons.
Thank God for
the adults that have the problem.
Tim Halpin Healy, thanks so much for being here. Thanks for going to see The Incredible Hulk.
Did you like it?
Thumbs up?
I did enjoy it. I enjoyed Iron Man a little bit more, but I think Liv Tyler and Ed Norton did a great job.
Excellent.
All right, fabulous.
Today's conversation on The Takeaway is supported by Liberty Mutual's Responsibility Project, a forum for examining the decisions that confront people trying to do the right thing. Discussions and more at responsibilityproject.com.
You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji from Public Radio International and WNYC in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Radio Boston.
Good morning on this Friday, the 13th of June. Time for some headlines. Richard Hake's been following the news in for Femi. Okay, good morning, Richard. What's happening?
And Adora, good morning. Wildfires are raging in parts of Northern California and southeastern Colorado, displacing thousands. Iraq's prime minister says a proposed U.S. security agreement has reached a dead end. And preliminary vote tallies show that Ireland has voted no to the European Union Lisbon Reform Treaty. Other stories that we're looking at for you this morning, anti-U.S. cleric Muqtada al-Sadr is calling for restraint in an apparent bid to exert control over his army militia fighters. Continued fighting despite several ceasefires called by al-Sadr has raised questions about how much control he maintains over various militia factions. President Bush says he might seek congressional action to get around a stinging Supreme Court rebuke on detainees held at Guantanamo. The court says detainees have a right to appeal being held without charges. Boy Scouts trapped at a western Iowa scout camp when a tornado struck are being hailed as heroes. Nebraska Governor Dave Heineman says they sprang into action providing first aid and rescuing those who were trapped.
They responded in true Boy Scout fashion, and I think we need to recognize them for what they did.
There was a memorial ceremony in Nebraska last night for the scouts who died. Consumer associations and business leaders in Argentina are warning that a blockade by truck drivers of all major highways could lead to food shortages within a few days. The main bankers association says bread is running out in many towns, and supermarkets are already having difficulty in restocking the shelves there.
Another food story. Richard, you know, we should add a story that we were following this week. The Irish voted down, it seems, the European Union Treaty on Reforms, which sets the whole EU identity into all kinds of turmoil. Richard, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Yeah. So we have all kinds of friends with us today. We're still with Neil deGrasse Tyson, who's joined us for the whole hour. Of course, he's the director of the Hayden Planetarium, the American Museum of Natural History, host of Nova Science Now, a GBH production, WGBH. This weekend is the Tony Awards, and doing this show has kept Adora and me away from Broadway. Neil, of course, you've seen Passing Strange. We're going to talk about that in a moment.
Not because we want to be away, but just because we go to bed really early.
That's right. So we asked our friend Jack Grace, the Martini Cowboy, who is here, our music man. We asked him to explore the unusual nominees for Tony Awards as a way of previewing them a little bit. And Jack, you know, what did you find?
Well, I found that there's two interesting favorites for Best Musical, which is In the Heights and Passing Strange.
Now, In the Heights is a little bit like, you know, West Side Story. It's a right. Kind of an immigrant neighborhood street show. Let's hear a little bit of it now.
Snotty, and you probably never heard my name. Reports of my fame are greatly exaggerated, exacerbated by the fact that my syntax is highly complicated, because I immigrated from the single greatest little place in the Caribbean, Dominican.
Now, critics love In the Heights. It's about Washington Heights, so way uptown.
By the way, my mother grew up there.
Really?
She went to Washington High School.
No
yeah,
kidding.
Yeah, yeah.
Was her name Musavi?
Sanchita Maria Feliciano Tyson.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Nice. I love it. Love it. So In the Heights is in some ways a conventional, unconventional musical. It's not Gypsy with Patti LuPone, yeah, but it is about sort of street culture in New York. Passing Strange is another sort of kind of music entirely, a musical entirely. Talk to me about that.
Yeah, Passing Strange is sort of it's a tale of Stu as the main character in his early days, developing as kind of a world through rose-colored glasses songwriter with lofty aspirations, taking his hard knocks, raised in L.A., living abroad in Europe.
All right, well, let's hear a little bit from Passing Strange.
They said, welcome to Amsterdam, welcome to Amsterdam, welcome to Amsterdam. She said, yeah, it might look like Sodom, from top to bottom, a shopping for the vice, but it's all right with me.
So is it fair to say Passing Strange is the first, Eurotrash musical?
Well, it's really the first where all the musicians in the act are actually just rock musicians. They're not pit Broadway musicians.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Listening to those two clips, it does not sound like your traditional Broadway musical.
Big orchestral
Grease,
sound.
Right? A la Ragtime.
These guys are breaking all the rules, making all their own rules.
And you have a kind of a personal connection to some of the band members. What's the story of this show and how it got to Broadway?
Stu was originally did it at Joe's Pub.
Which is a famous place here in New York
City
where bands play.
Stu Rodewald.
And and he's
adjacent to the Public Theater.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Mm-hmm. So he sort of just brought he did it there, and I think some producers approached him and said, we'd like to do this on Broadway, and I think he said, you're crazy.
Well, it's interesting because Stu and Heidi Rodewald spoke last week, you talked to a bunch of people when we went up to the show, and you know their skepticism about being on Broadway at all is very, very evident from this clip.
We are not a musical. I don't know what we are, but we're not a musical. Yeah. To even go to the Tonys is hilarious. I've never even watched the Tonys.
The fact that we're even on Broadway is so unbelievable.
Yeah.
It's also crazy that we're already way ahead. It doesn't even matter.
They're having the time of their lives.
Yes. They're enjoying themselves. They're also getting used to playing to a sober Broadway audience.
Because
they're more accustomed to being in clubs in New York where everyone's had a few and they're cheering and calling back to them.
Well, some of the people in the Broadway audiences have had a few. Maybe it doesn't sound like they've had a few.
They still know how to behave and keep quiet
about it. And, hey, they get home before midnight.
Yes, some of them.
Some of them do. I mean, it's not like playing a bar in New York where you have to stay out till like 2 in the morning. I mean, it's a whole different scene.
Well, part of it's the staging. I mean, I think it got restaged to fill a Broadway venue. So
Did you like it?
Yes, I liked it. It was very intense. What was intense about it was the rock music element of it. Yeah. It's what, like you said, it wasn't the orchestra that you're so accustomed to.
Well, you know, this is becoming a genre on Broadway. I mean, Spring Awakening is a very intense rock and roll show, and I love that show. Here's one of the members of the band speaking in one of your interviews. This is John Spurney. What does he play? He plays keyboards?
He's keyboards and guitar, yes.
Here's John Spurney.
You know, none of us ever kind of aspired to be on Broadway, and you realize when you're here that it's such a pinnacle in the entertainment business, and the people you're working with are people who dreamed of it all their lives, you know, and so I feel a little guilty because I feel like I just kind of stumbled into it.
Now, the New York Press, when they talk about the Tonys, they say if you get a Tony, it's maybe your ticket to stay on Broadway because it's very expensive. Maybe you'll get a road show. What do you think it's going to mean to these guys in Passing Strange if they win?
And will it work in other cities?
Yeah, exactly. Well, I think that they're confused and have no idea. They feel I think they're just lost in outer space right now, trying to figure out what's going on.
Would that be a pun? Space, Neil.
That was my cue to Neil. Yeah,
there you
question
go.
For you. Yeah. This must make Broadway officials and those who run theaters very happy, though, because now you have a whole new audience that may be drawn in a way that they wouldn't have been unless it was this kind of untraditional.
It could mean
play.
Transitional for the the community.
It's I think they're realizing that they have to, you know, conjure up younger people that don't want to hear about everything that happened in the 1930s.
Right, and they're doing it. And
some
they
enchanted
doing
evening.
It.
Exactly.
You don't have to, you know, base your show on ladies from New Jersey anymore. That's for sure. Well, thank you, Jack. We have a little bit more business to do. Neil, can you help me out here?
Up to what
you know,
we do
movies every Friday, and on Friday, of course, you know, we don't make people sit through all of the trailers for all the movies that are coming out. We've already talked about The Incredible Hulk. We put them all together, and can you say the words "Mother of all trailers"?
Mother of all trailers.
Do it one more time.
Mother of all trailers.
How did you do that with your voice? That was incredible.
Wow.
I don't remember any of what I'm about to tell you.
There are aspects of my personality that I can't control.
We brought the parakeet with us.
I'll call him off if you get up and make us some meatloaf.
Right now!
It's very dangerous to be around me.
Jesus was a very bad guy. Long time ago.
I just had this dream about a guy with a sack over his face.
Wake up!
So the mashup this week has six movies in it, including The Incredible Hulk and Quid Pro Quo and some others. If you see any of the movies this week, go to our website, 8778MyTake. We want to hear your reviews. We'll play them on Monday.
Yeah, we do.
We also go
to the movies.
Yeah, go to the movies.
We have an assignment this weekend. Go to the movies and then send us one of your pithier reviews.
Now, our lively debate on the Gitmo decision out of the Supreme Court has produced some great comments from you. Let's hear a few.
Hi, this is Matt Dallaluzio from New York City. I encourage people to think about 6 years of their life and what happened in those 6 years and all the things they've experienced. And people have been sitting in prison without any chance of challenging their detention. And the fact that some people are upset about the decision is quite disturbing.
Hello, my name is Jake, and I'm calling from Rockland County, New York. And I'm responding to the gentleman from Human Nature, who said that the detainees in Gitmo are obviously criminals and obviously violent. Well, if it's so obvious, where's the evidence and prove that in court?
Thank you, respondents. Thank you, Jack Grace, Martini Cowboy. Thank you so much, Neil deGrasse Tyson, who joined us all hour from the Hayden Planetarium, the host of Nova Science Now.
Do we have time for one more spin box? No, we don't have time.
We don't have time. It's time for the weekend.
It is time for the weekend.
Have a great Friday the 13th.
You too.
The Takeaway is supported by the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, advancing journalistic excellence in the digital age. More information at knightfoundation.org, the Rockefeller Foundation and its campaign for American workers. More at rockfound.org, and by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. This is The Takeaway.